So can you relate to that? She is single mom, two little kids. She's an educator, and her kids have to stay home to be educated. There's a lot of you that can relate to, this is impossible. How do we go into this situation? Another thing that's been, for my side, has been fun, but probably not from the other side, is we've asked these people to make the videos to introduce the message each week, and I told them specifically, the folks who are gathering people, making the video, I don't want success stories. I don't go out there and find out somebody who goes, man, my life was terrible, but now, ooh, baby, I'm all good. Find what they're really going through. And people invariably go, you probably don't want me to do it. You don't want me to do it. Because what they want to say is, my life stinks. This is horrible. This is hard. And that's not going to play very well. But we're going to talk about prayer. God does not need a cheerleader. He doesn't need you to get all cleaned up and fixed up and go to God and encourage him. He actually calls you to come to him. And he is drawn to people who are suffering and hurting and struggling and going through real life. Now, today, I want to make right up front, it's going to be super, super simple. Don't raise your hand. Don't answer the question out loud. But I've been asking people, how much do you pray in a week? How much do you pray in a day? And I got to be honest with you. I've been kind of shocked at the answers that I've gotten back, because a number of people have said, "Well, I think total, I maybe have prayed maybe 5 to 7 minutes this week," and others probably. Maybe 6, 7 times, maybe 8 times, something like that. And so the whole goal of today is to help you practically be able to experience praying a lot or to pray all day. That's the whole goal. Now, when you walk into a church, and if you come from any kind, it doesn't even matter if you come from a religious background or a church background, you automatically think like this. Prayer is good. People who don't pray, that's bad. Oh, people who pray, those are the good people. People who don't, oh, those are the bad people. Right now, if you could, wipe that off of your brain. That is not what we're talking about. That's not what we're interacting with. What we're interacting with is this. Prayer is one of those precious experiences that God has given to us. It's the opportunity to share our hearts, to talk to and listen to our Creator, our Savior. Now, this is what's true. Don't pray, you're really missing out. Pray. It's amazing the blessing just prayer alone is, but then the fruit of what happens from it. So as we jump in today, we're going to be talking about praying all the time and praying every day. So here we go. Prayer in the Spirit. It says pray in the Spirit at all times. You hear that? Pray in the Spirit, like, that's not what it means. You have a spirit, you have a brain. Your brain, you think, is smart. But the brain will tend to disconnect from the spirit and start talking. And talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Sometimes listen. But then you have your heart or your spirit. That's where you step back and go, wait. This isn't just about me. This isn't just an argument. This isn't just talking. This is me. It goes even further for those of you who accepted Christ as your personal Savior. If you belong to Christ, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And so you get to pray from your relationship with God. You're not praying to get a relationship to God. You're praying from this relationship with you have with God, where you know you're forgiven. You've been given righteousness. You've been given a mission and a purpose, and you pray from that place. Pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers. If you go to the Psalms are prayers. There's 150 Psalms. There's even multiple prayers within the Psalms. There's prayers throughout the Bible. There's prayers for anything and everything. It says, asking for everything you need to do this, you must always be ready and never give up. And always pray for all God's people. That's a lot of praying. How do we do that? By developing two habits. The first habit is to keep a running conversation with God. Keep a running conversation with God. Now, this is super simple, but might take some practice. I grew up on a farm, and on the farm, you can talk to yourself out loud, and no one hears you. Sometimes you're on a tractor for hours at a time. You will have unbelievable conversations with yourself. If you don't watch it, you start talking out loud because nobody can hear you. So it was always fun for us to sneak up on each other and listen to the other person talk to themselves and then walk in and go, oh, really? It's so embarrassing. You're like, ah. Now, you guys live in the city, so there's people around you all the time. You talk to yourself just as much as we did. You just can't do it out loud. You constantly talk to yourself. If you worry, you're talking to yourself. You're stressed out, you're talking to yourself. Anxiety, you're talking to yourself. The Bible says, pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. Now, this is what you do. Don't try to stop talking to yourself. Let that be the trigger for you. When you're worried about something and you're talking to yourself, catch yourself and go, oh, this is the time to pray. Have the exact same conversation, but have it with God. You can say almost the same things. Halfway through the sentence, you'll see how real kind of silly it is, and you might change the prayer. But when you're all afraid of things and you're all bottled up and you're so mad, at that moment, don't stop being mad. Take and start talking to God about it. Never stop praying. Pray all the time. You do this already. It's just you're talking to yourself. Take that and turn that to talking to God. Have that conversation with God. Now, this is something you don't do. This you'll have to do new. Which is, after you've talked, stop talking and listen. Stop talking and listen. When you talk to yourself, you just never stop. Then you stop, talk to God, stop, and listen all throughout the day. Number two is to schedule prayer times throughout my day. The Bible says, 7 times a day, I praise you. Now, there's lots of personalities, but we're going to divide you into 2 different groups. There are some of you that love structure. You love, love, love structure. If we pulled out your phone, man, your calendar is so sweet. It looks so good. And we said, hey, what do you think maybe we could hang out in January 2023? And you're like, let me see. Oh, sorry, man, I got something scheduled that day. You just love it. And when somebody comes up with what I'm going to share with you today, you're like, I can do that. This is terrific structure. I'm going to do that. And you're going to come to me one day, you go, that was awesome, changed my life. Now, there's people like me. Now, I am learning to appreciate the fruit of structure. I hate structure. But I love the fruit of structure. And whenever somebody would come up with what I'm going to present with you today, I would get halfway through it and like, I'm exhausted. I cannot do that. It will take more work to keep that particular schedule than it would to build a house. I'm not going to do that. A number of you have run into this with weight loss. For years, I was like, I need to. And people would come up with these ways to lose weight, and they'd take your whole life. So, What I want you to do is know this. Maybe you're going to come up with a little different structure than the one I'm going to present for you today. But there has to be intentionality, and this is why. There's two kinds of people, and there's two traps that we fall. Take that back. There's two traps that we fall into. One is we take prayer or our relationship with God, and we make it a ritual. And when we make it a ritual, it loses its life. Now, most of you come from a Catholic background. That's just where we live, and that's the nature of our community. You come from a Catholic background. And you'll say, yep, I took First Communion, and I took all my classes, and I did all of that. And I'll say, okay, great. Now, what'd you learn? I don't know. And you even look at prayer as a ritual. Like the rosary, or there's different pieces of it, and you look like, that's something I have to do, and you've made the focus not your relationship with God and not the talk with God. You've made it that you did what you were supposed to do when you were supposed to do it, and it loses its life. I went back and read a bunch of this stuff. Do you know that what they taught you and a bunch of the rosary is amazing? It is amazing biblical truth in it. It just lost its life because it became ritual. Now there's the skyline side of things. We're all into this personal relationship with God, right? We love God and we want it to be alive. Look at the way we sing. Yes. I wish you guys would do more of it, right? I just want you to, we have a party every Sunday morning, right? We're like, yeah, this is great. This is awesome. Here we go. Woohoo! Almost like it's romantic. And romantic is, I love to feel like I love God. So I want to pray when I feel like praying. And guess what happens? You don't pray. You don't pray intentionally. You don't pray consistently. And you want the fruit. And you pray, God, give me my fruit. Give me the fruit. Change my life. Do these things in my life. Help people. Change people. And you do that every once in a while. But you don't till the ground. You don't plant the seed. You don't water it. You don't weed it. Because you're not intentional in what you do. And so it's important that we build this intentionality of prayer into our life. I ask a guy who's learned a lot about intentionality in his life. And his name's Adam Jones, so meet Adam.
Hey, Skyline, how are you? It's Adam. Pastor Chris reached out to me this week and asked me if I would be willing to film a quick video on my perspective from a former Army paratrooper, a CrossFit gym owner, and a follower of Christ on my thoughts regarding prayer and discipline. As Pastor Chris has said, sometimes when we're trying to make our prayer life into a routine, we can turn it into a ritual, something that is devoid of energy or life. The question really becomes, how can you have a routine and have it full of energy? So I'm gonna share three of my techniques that I use to have an energetic prayer life. The three techniques that I'm gonna talk about are be intentional, be purposeful, and be mindful. So let's jump into them one by one and talk about it briefly. All right, technique number one that I use is to be intentional. To grow in any skill set, you can't just do it one time and expect to see changes. I like to schedule time with myself in the morning before everybody's awake in my house. It's not easy, but sometimes you gotta get comfortable being uncomfortable. And so you need to intentionally set some time aside for your prayer life. So the next step is to be purposeful. Step number one was showing up. Step number two is showing up with a plan. So I have a couple of Bible apps that I follow, and I have a devotional that is on parenting. I have a devotional that is on leadership, leading like Christ. And when I show up, it's kind of easy. It's already set out for me. This is the devotional for the day that, you know, the app says I'm gonna read. Have the coffee brewed, and I sit down, I settle in, and I go through the readings one by one. And after each one, that's when I pray. So that brings me to point number three. Point number three is be mindful. And what do I mean by be mindful? This is actually where the energy of the prayer life comes into play, believe it or not. So before I pray, I get done reading my devotional, and I take a second and I think about, what does this actually mean for me in my life? Before I jump into prayer or anything like that, I spend a couple seconds, you know, breathing with my eyes closed, just contemplating on, what did I just read? How is it applicable to me? And in those very quiet moments, that's usually when it strikes me how massive God is, how beautiful grace is. And usually the prayer just starts to flow out of me from there. And that's life. Like, that is the energy. It is fresh. The realization that I just had in that moment is usually what triggers it. So that's how I, one, understand my scripture a little bit deeper, two, understand how it fits into my life, and then three, once I kind of have that moment of realization, the prayer actually just starts flowing out of me, and it usually starts with, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. That's my story. It works for me. I think it's trainable. That's probably the CrossFit coach in me, you know? Show up with a plan, and while you're there, be mindful in the moment, and everything else just will fall in place. I love you guys. I hope that I get to see you soon. Take care.
All right, so what we're going to do is going to walk through the Lord's Prayer and just ways that you can practice that throughout the day. So here we go. Number one, get up with gratitude. Or thanksgiving. A number of you have this habit, and we need to break it right now. You get up and you check your phone or you check the news. Mike Astorino says the worst possible thing you can do is get up every morning. The first thing you do is check the news. It's designed to be miserable. You don't make money sharing good news. So it's all just, So instead, do the opposite, which is you wake up with gratitude. What you're grateful for. Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So then, this is how you should pray, our Father in heaven, to be grateful for who he is. You have this day before you. You have an opportunity to love people. You have an opportunity to be loved. As a matter of fact, that's one of the really cool things you get to thank him for. The Bible says, every good gift and every perfect present comes from your Father in light of heaven. You have things that God is giving you on a regular basis, but you have to remind yourself. You have to step back and remind yourself. You usually don't have to remind yourself of the bad things happening in your life, but you do have to step back and go, wait, what am I grateful for? That's how I'm going to start my day. So I thank my Father in heaven for his consistent love. Are you loved? The Bible is clear that God loves you so much, he gave his most precious possession for you. He gave his son for you. And I recall the ways, and then I recall the ways that he is good to me. The second is to bless God's name at breakfast. So before your feet hit the floor, or as your feet hit the floor, the thankfulness or the gratitude comes. Then it's time to eat breakfast. Or for some of you, grab a coffee. Or something along that line, right? This moment when you're going to grab breakfast, it's time to praise God's name. It says, hallowed be your name. Now, again, at Skyline, we work really hard to help you understand that God is not distant. He's not far away. He's not some old grumpy guy who's up in heaven going, shame on you, shame on you. We work hard for you to understand who he is and what he's like, but there can be a danger in that. And that danger in that is that you begin to think that God doesn't care about things. Sometimes people communicate, yeah, he's the big guy upstairs, and you begin to negotiate with God. You begin to talk to God, and there's a lot of buts in your conversation. And when you interact with God, you're like, yeah, but. I know you said this, God, but. I know, yeah, but. Or you treat him as though he's there, but he's not really all-powerful. He's not really the one who created you, who's to be hallowed, highly respected. A couple of weeks ago, my family and I got to go to North Carolina and spend a week there, and we got to go parasailing. Now, parasailing has always looked pretty cool to me. One of the things I've never done is jump out of an airplane. And as long as I have children and grandchildren, I probably won't jump out of an airplane. Like, it just looks like one thing has to go wrong, and then and so parasailing's not too far from that, right? And I love to, you know this, I share this quite often. I love to act like I'm a pretty tough dude. I love that whole persona thing. I'm into that. And whenever something scares me, I do it first because I don't want that fear to grow. And so I'm going first. We're going first. And so the guy, you should have seen this, right? So the guy tells us how to put on the harness. He tells us where to click it, what to do. He tells us where to sit and exactly how to click them here and where to sit. And I want you to understand something. I want you to know something. I hallowed his name. I listened to everything he said, and I did it exactly the way he said. It never crossed my mind. Really? I think it'd be better to do it this way. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? I know that's what you think about this, but I think I didn't share my opinion. I didn't. No. I listened because I knew his life, my life, was literally in what he, in his hands and what he had to say. And therefore, I got to experience this.
Can I let go of this or no?
Huh?
You can let go of that, yes. Yes, you can.
Will I just fall right back?
Huh?
If I let go of it all.
You'll just fall back. There's a sling behind you. Just lay back. Lay back. Feel it. Look how little they are. They're so little.
I'm going to pick up my toy book. It's my toy book.
It's your toy book.
It's my toy boat. I'm going to pick it up.
That's a long ways down, that.
What do you think,
Andy? That is a long ways down. Anyone, is that a long ways down?
No.
No?
I mean, yes.
I don't know.
Are we going down?
Well, we're up here. Wow, it's perfect today, right?
Yeah, I can go.
Now, yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Now. You get to experience those kinds of things when you start by hallowing his name and interacting with God that way. You praise him for who he is. You get to see who he really is. And it really gets to impact your life when you treat him that way. Every day I will bless your name and praise it forever and ever. I review God's names. And and the promises they imply. In other words, breakfast time, I'm going to go through who God says he is. Because God says, I am. And so let's take a look at these. Abba, he's your loving father. This is so meaningful for those of you who your dad wasn't here. And maybe your whole life you've been like, God, why'd you do that to me? Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that to me? God's answer is, whoa, I want to take his place. Like, oh, it's second rate. No. For all of us, he's our daddy. This term means, it's an endearing term that means I get to call him daddy. The second name is Eldia. It means God Almighty with all the power. I'm sorry, your God who knows everything. We're a little stressed out right now, wouldn't you say? We got the COVID thing going on. We got the election in a few days. And you know this election is the most important election in all of history, just like it was 4 years ago and 4 years before that and 4 years before that. You know it is. There's just enormous pressure. What are we going to do? Well, Tomorrow morning at breakfast, I'm going to talk to the one who knows exactly what's going to happen and has a plan for my life and your life, who is not surprised and not afraid and not anxious. El Shaddai, God Almighty, with all the power that you need. I can't do this, God. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. Right. And tomorrow morning at breakfast, I'm going to spend some time with the God who can do it and who has promised to give me the power in my weakness to do whatever he needs me to do. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never abandoned those who truly seek him. You will never find anyone who has followed God. And I don't mean went to church and did churchy things. I mean who trusted God and he didn't come through. He never abandons anyone. Number three, at mid-morning, remember what matters most. Dedication. Remember what matters most. No. So we've gotten up. We're grateful. We've had breakfast. We've spent time with God. We realign. Whoosh, away we go. And we're excited. Now it's about 9:30, 10 o'clock. I've been at work for a couple hours. And my focus has gone to this crazy life that I live and all that's going on. And there's just all this pressure on me. What am I going to do? May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I align myself with God's purpose and his plans for my life. It's this simple prayer. God, I want exactly what you want. You're like, what do you want? I'm not going to search deep down inside myself. I'm not going to get what I want from me. I'm not going to figure out what I want from me. Because I'm just like you. What I want is I want to keep this slim, trim body that I have, and I want that apple pie, and I want that ice cream. I mean, 5 minutes to 5 minutes, I change what I want. No. I'm going to realign. I want exactly what God wants, and I want what he wants, not only for me, but for everyone around me. I've been praying this prayer consistently. Tuesday, when election happens, God, I want exactly what you want. I want exactly what you want. If you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, I want what you want. I want what you want for my life, and I want what you want for my children, and I want what you want for my church. I want what you want for my neighbors. That's what I want. I want what you want for my career. I want what you want for my finances. If you seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, all the other things will be given to you as well. So at this moment, what have I done? I've taken all the pressure of life off of me, and I've put it on him. Because who and only who can bring about what God wants? Not me. What God wants for this church, I'm the leader. It's my responsibility to produce it. No way. God wants me to be an incredible husband. That's his responsibility. God wants me to become a faithful, pure, godly man. That's his responsibility. That's what happens around 9:30, 10 o'clock. As we keep moving along, We take a look at number four, list my needs at lunch. So now I'm hungry, it's time to go get lunch, And if you have developed a prayer, and you may have not developed this, if you've developed the habit of praying before you eat, you get to do this during those times. If you've developed that habit, it's a really cool habit. It's that before every meal, before I eat, I'm going to pray, and I get to practice one of these things. I'm going to list my needs at lunch. Give us today our daily bread. I want you to think about that. This is done in a time when no supermarkets whatsoever. You made the daily bread every day. Now, just like our culture, they had some rich people and some not so rich people, but not nearly as many rich people as we do. They really didn't have a middle class. And he says, give us this day our daily bread. Picture that. The bread I'm going to have tomorrow is not even made yet. And where's it going to come from? And what's the deal, man? Is bread really that big a deal? Why would God care about you and, I mean, in your bread? So I have a very specific message for a very specific group of you. This is those of you who have said to yourself and said to others, I only have prayer requests for other people. Because my prayer requests are so small and it seems selfish for me to ask God for those things. I don't want to offend you. I just want to be crystal clear. You are wrong. Very, very wrong. God, Jesus says, to ask God for your daily bread. That's the smallest, littlest thing. It would devastate me to be standing outside my kids' room and hear them talk to each other and hear them say, yeah, I really need this, but I think Dad is too busy, so I'm not going to ask him for it. I have this thing in my life that I would love to have. Man, I would love to have this. But I don't think Dad really cares enough about me, so I'm not going to ask him. That would devastate me. Why? Because I'm a father. And God has, he has all the time and all the resources. And he wants to provide for your daily needs. Ask him. Talk to him about it. Ask for anything that you need. You can ask for anything in my name. Now, this week, we learned in our groups, God promised to meet your needs, not your greed. Now, greed is when you're like, for me to be happy, I have to have this. That's not the same as, I would love to have that. I wish I could have that. God, I'm so grateful. I've walked through all these things. I'm grateful for what you've done. I'm grateful for what you've given me. But God, I just want you to know, I would love to have that. Now he says, ask in my name, which means it's in line with, God, I want exactly what you want. It's in line with that. And then we pray for each other. And each other's needs. And we go down through this list of this is what they need, either to happen in their life or this is the way we need you. God, I need you to provide for them. I'd be sinning against the Lord if I failed to pray for you. And although we do pray for people when we hear about it, we've got to have structure to be consistent in our prayers for each other. Jesus has the power of God by which he gives us everything we need to live and to serve. And to serve God. We have these things because we know him. In other words, this passage, it's a beautiful, powerful passage. It literally says, because Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, that when you accept him, he's already given you everything you need to live and serve God. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I just need God to give it to me. The truth is, he's already given it to you. And many times it's activated by prayer. It's already there. It's not a question of whether or not you're going to get it, but it's activated by prayer. Number five, in the afternoon, we're coming out of work, and we're thinking about our day, and we're thinking about our attitude toward our coworkers that day. And some of the things we said, but even worse, are the things we thought that we never said. And we reach in our pocket and we pull out the 17 pencils and pens we just stole from work. And we think about that gossip conversation we had where we were just tearing down our boss like crazy with each other. That can be heavy. So it's good in the afternoon to go to God and be honest about what I struggled with today, about what I out and out rebelled against Him today, about the times that I justified the way I was treating my wife because she didn't love me the way I wanted to be loved. I deserve not to love her. The way I ignored my children, I didn't do what I knew was good or right or best. And Christ has already died on the cross. He's already rose from the dead. He wants to forgive you. And for many of you believers, you're actually already forgiven as far as Christ is concerned, but you haven't talked to Him about it, so you're carrying it around. It's like that relationship you have with someone where you've done them wrong, and they know you did them wrong, and they're like, I forgive them, I love them, it's all great. But you spend 2 years, and you can't look them in the eye. You're the only one that's got the problem. If you would just ask forgiveness, then you accept what's already been given to you. That's your relationship with Jesus. You are going through your life feeling like God's turned His back on you. Like, you know, I descend. I'm sure He doesn't want to have anything to do with me. And He doesn't turn His back on you. You turned your back on Him. This is the time when you turn back around and you are honest. I admit my sins and I forgive others who frustrated me. I confess my sins to you and didn't try to hide them. Then you forgave me, and now all of my guilt is gone. Is forgiving, don't answer out loud, is forgiving other people hard? Like, oh, it's so, I hear it all the time. You hear it all the time. Forgiving is so hard. It is not hard for forgiven people. It's hard for self-righteous people. It's hard for people who think they deserve better. It's hard for people who think, I would never do that. I can't believe they did that. But it's not hard for me. Why? I have done as bad or worse, but what I know for sure is I could always do worse. How do I know that? Because I asked for forgiveness. I've been honest. I've looked in the mirror. And I've seen who I am. It's not pretty. Well, I mean, this is pretty, but it's not pretty. Number six, ask God to help me make wise decisions or protection. Help me make wise decisions, God. What a prayer. Again, you want to take all this stuff off your shoulders and put it on God's shoulders. God, I want what you want. I'll go where you want. I'll go where you say. Make me wise. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. Lead us not. Did you know the Spirit is leading you all the time? But we usually want the Spirit to lead us after we've made 3 wrong turns. When that gossip conversation starts, you heard the Spirit go, get out of here, turn this around, stop it now. Oh God, please help me, help me. It's too late. Listen, How do you do that? By spending time with him every day, asking for forgiveness. Number seven, in my day with an encouraging truth. The Bible says this, God, yours, my Father, his kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For yours is the kingdom. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before you go to bed, guys, those of you who got that, you've got that TV in your room, right? You got to shut that thing off before you go to bed, and you got to remember, before I go to sleep, my Father owns it all. My Father has the power to bring good. My Father, my goodness, he's my Father. Now let's go to sleep, which is a great place to end it, and it's a great place to end this message. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the way you love us and the way you've poured into us. I want to pray for those who have never practiced praying to you all day long. They spend all day long talking to themselves, but they think that prayer is this event. It's an appointment. And they just keep forgetting to have the appointment. Help them to understand this very simple principle. No. You don't actually have to stop talking to yourself. You have to just turn the corner when you find yourself talking to yourself. When you're worried, when you're stressed out, when you're angry, when you're happy, when you're in awe. Just turn that conversation to your Father. And then, Lord, I want to pray for me and people like me. Lord, I love the romantic relationship with you. I love it. I love the feelings. I love all of it. I love the passion. But I need to pray consistently, and I need to pray with intention. I need to pray on purpose. And I ask you to give me and the people like me here in our church, whether they be right here in the campus or they be streaming, give us the courage. Give us the humility to put this into place. Give us the stamina, the determination, the patience to not give up, to just keep working on it. I pray for our groups, that in our groups, they would come up with ways to help each other, encourage each other. Come up with their own schedules of ways to pray to you all day, every day. In your name we pray. Amen.